kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night. Thank you.
Consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons and daughters, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself, intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And this is the word of the Lord for this hour. And I'm Dr. Shirley Caniff here, and I'm general manager of WSCIRO, Seek Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And my husband also has, he's the other anchor here. But right now he's given me the blessings of hosting the show along with the Holy Spirit and my friend Breach from Northern Ireland, Breach Carroll from Northern Ireland. And although she's from Northern Ireland, she's actually living in New Jersey with her family. And we will go to her in a couple of minutes. Just want to just reiterate that we are continuing our series, our Faith Talk series, on the return of the prodigal, okay? And for those of you who are just tuned in, you haven't looked at series 1, 2, and 3. We're on part 4 now. And it seems to correspond with the weeks of Lent. We're entering to our fourth week of Lent today on Sunday, April 3rd. Happy Spring at 6:28 a.m. And that's Eastern Standard Time. And so, you know, what we looked at from week one, and it was part one of Return of the Prodigals, they explored the prodigal son's return in response that the older brother had to the return of the prodigal son. Very interesting. And I don't want to say more than that. If you really want to get a the richness behind this message. I believe that those who tuned in today, you'll gain a greater blessing if you go back to part one and two and three. Part two is about exploring the three different states prevalent in the prodigal, namely the older brother, sonship, and the prodigal. And this is as it relates to the older brother. Let me go back to that again. I'm trying to read my own writing. Exploring the three different states prevalent in the prodigal, the older brother, and sonship as it relates to sonship. And as all three relate to, you know, the issue between the prodigal son and the older brother. Okay. And then we further investigated the spiritual condition of the prodigal, namely the orphan spirit, and how spiritual wounding has contributed to the love crisis condition that has been, you know, that resides in the soul of the one who primarily has the identity of the prodigal. And we looked at how we can actually enter into various states. Once we, go over the threshold of salvation, receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior, and receive the Holy Spirit as our comforter, as our guide, and, the third person in the Trinity, which is the Spirit of the living God sent by Jesus, who resides and sits on the throne at the right hand of the Father, hearing all of our prayers. The Holy Spirit, that brings us into all truth about who we are, who what we're destined to become. He breathes life into us to give us new life. And, let's just say that, if there are areas of woundedness in us, he's very faithful. He doesn't abandon us. But he completes the will of the Father within us by, working with us and identifying those areas. And it's up to us, our own free will to comply with what the Holy Spirit is pointing to us in our relationship with Him, and to work and to be like a co-laborer, in the redemption of our mind, body, soul, spirit, will, and emotions. So, but if those areas are left unchecked, then those areas become prodigal states. So we go from, prodigal to sonship, and then once we're in that relationship, then, there's different states within us that actually, need further development and growth and things like that. So that is what we explored in part two. In part three, we looked closer at the prodigals and the issues of identity and leading to destiny. So, those teachings are full of riches. I learned so much about it, and I relearn as I re-listen. So if Dr. Shirley can do this, so can you. Okay? Well, I'm going to just read a little bit on the from Return to the Lord. It's a retreat book. It's a Lenten exercise on Return to the Lord by Mark G. Boyer, and then we'll go to Sister Bridge in a couple of minutes there. Just something for you to pause on and relate to in the present moment in this modern day era, okay, regarding the enemies of justice, which, when the prodigal sons and daughters come back to the father's house, or maybe for the first time, come into the father's house, the Lord deals with the enemies of injustice, enemies of justice because of the injustice, okay, that has been meted out to them. And so let's see what the scriptures say. We start with Micah 7:8. Rejoice not over me, O my enemy, though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is my light. So So that is something that's been deposited in the particles that are destined to, you know, come home or, you know, come back home or come home, you know, to the Father. Okay? And so if anybody wants to continue to meditate on the this during the fourth week of Lent, you can go to Micah 7, verses 7 to 9. The reflection here that Mark suggests is that almost everyone has an enemy at one time or another. Don't we all? An enemy isn't necessarily someone with whom you do battle, as in a war. Your enemy might be the neighbor next door who doesn't believe in raking his leaves in the fall, or being even worse, you know, they know you're a Christian, they know you're a believer and you love the Lord, but they don't want anything to do with it, and they, you know, hate you even more for it. You get upset because his leaves keep blowing over into your well-manicured yard, and also you get upset because they just don't want to hear about what the Lord did. I mean, and, you know, and who wouldn't? Because, you know, the Lord is good. He's God, and he loves you. He loves all of humanity, and why wouldn't you love him? So it says, but maybe, on the other hand, your boss is the enemy. The person we work for is often the target of our hostility. The boss has to be kept happy and appeased at all costs. Whatever he or she says is unquestioned and unquestionable, and this goes for bosses that are believers and bosses that are unbelievers. Everything has to be handled according to the orders given by the boss. This, of course, can work the other way around. Maybe your boss and your employee is making life a living hell for you. Never on time, careless in the way that the work is performed, always criticizing and causing trouble and dissension amongst other employees. Bosses have been known to bear down on difficult employees in an effort to make them quit and seek work elsewhere. Both can become the other's worst enemy. Even children have enemies. One child takes the toy that another wants, and a minor war breaks out. Sometimes one child will slap, kick, or bite another and accuse the other of cheating or stealing or being unfair. Sometimes an enemy can cause one to fail or be defeated. The neighbor who permits his leaves to roam freely may very well triumph over the person who wants to keep them out of his yard. Or, in the case of, you know, the neighbor who, you know, doesn't, you know, who gloats over, you know, when they see a believer that really loves the Lord fall, you know, he says, oh, well, gee, look at that. You know, where's your Savior now, you know? And Scripture's full of that, you know? But anyways, so you have those two instances. I just wanted to throw that in there. So you have, you know, so then also in the case of an employee, an employee might be so good at keeping the boss happy that the boss doesn't realize how that employee might in other ways be deceiving him. Or the boss might make things so difficult that the employee has no choice but to resign her position. One child might intimidate another to the point that the other runs away and hides. But in the midst of the enemy's triumph, the defeated still have hope. Might does not make right, and justice is not based on power or prestige. God's justice is based on truth and is meted out to those whom he trusts. Who can sit in the darkness and wait for my light, God asks. When we learn to put things in their proper perspective, we can see how true this is. It is by being upset about some inconsequential leaves that we may learn how unimportant a well-manicured lawn may well be in the grand scheme of things. Employees and bosses may learn to respect one another and come to realize after the heat of the argument has passed that there are different ways of doing things and that the old way is not always the best way. Even children can learn that the darkness of defeat can be a prelude to making friends. Take one with whom we struggled yesterday may be our strongest supporter today. Contrary to popular belief, light shines out of the darkness, not in spite of it. God's justice shows forth from the darkness of deceit. Night is often the background needed to see clearly the light of the Lord. And this is also the word of the Lord, operating through ordinary experiences. Okay. Some questions to ponder about. I might address some of them today, and maybe the Lord will address this with you. But it says, when did an enemy last triumph over you? Question one. And two, what was the issue? And three, how dark did things become? And last but not least, four, what light emerged as a result? Okay, so those are the four questions that you can ponder on the fourth week of Lent here. And then our prayer is this. God, our Savior, you do not permit the enemy to rejoice over us when we have fallen and sit in the midst of darkness and despair. Rather, you send your spirit of insight to enlighten us and to bring us hope for your justice. Do not abandon us. Do not abandon the prodigals, but be ever close. Continue to bring forth from the darkness of our lives the light of your justice. And we ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And we just want to appeal to the Holy Spirit right now on behalf of this show. I opened up with this retreat because I wanted to set a tone for the fourth retreat, fourth part of the it was like a retreat, but the fourth part of the Faith Talks Live Prayer message on the prodigal, namely praying and travailing the prodigal's home. Because as I was reading this excerpt from this retreat, and when I was meditating upon the scriptures about what we need to teach today, I was thinking, you know, and it's been the whole theme of my prayer walk this week, well, just how are you bringing the prodigals home? What does it take, you know? Why, you know, and I could see the Father sitting on the throne. From a, you know, this is watching the prodigals from like maybe 5-10 miles away to just right so close to home, and then you know, like something's stopping them, and you know he's God, but he's like, you know, he respects free will, you know, and he created us in his image, such a dichotomy, but he's looking at his children from a distance that are coming home to the sound of his call, to the sound of his voice. And all of a sudden, they're like, they start dead on their tracks. And it could be distraction, which leads to destruction, or it could be spiritual warfare, swimming in their heads. It could be something. But, he's scratching his head, and he's like, what are my children going through? But he's also God, and he knows. But then he has his angels, and he sends his angels to them as messengers, and of course the Father's heart longs to see his children again and to fellowship with them, but they're in such a state that they need to go through Jesus. So he sends the angels, he sends his son Jesus, and Jesus shows up, but he oftentimes, how does he show up? Through intercession. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And I am not going to apologize for being long-winded, this message is building up. And there's a lovely crescendo happening. And so I'm going to go to Bridge in a couple of minutes, but I want you to open up your Bibles and write these scriptures down, because we will be visiting them this during this series of talk. And we're going to look at Amos 3:7 from the Old Testament and Isaiah 45, verse 3, all right? And also we are going to look at something that the Lord put in my heart, the prayer of Jesus for his for himself, the prayer of Jesus for his disciples, and the prayer of Jesus for believers. And, you know, which include the prodigals that are destined to return. And that's from John 17, verses 1 through 18. Prayer is very significant here. It's the fishing hook that brings the bait and that brings in the fish. All right? So we're going to look at that. And I'm going to go right now to my friend Breach. I hope she's there and still. There she is. Here we go. Well, hello, Breach. How are you doing?
Good morning, Dr. Shirley. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in him.
Amen. And top of the morn to you, too, this, on this lovely spring day, April 3rd. So good to be alive, isn't it?
It is so good to be alive, and what an honor it is in the past few weeks, Dr. Shirley, that we can come together this time of Lent and just come in deeper, go deeper into the Lord, into the things of the Lord and the plan that he has for us.
Yes, the plan that he has. And he's a God that works in ordinary circumstances in our lives. And he will move heaven and earth, and he will get our attention. You know, Breach, before I woke up, when I was awake on my prayer couch, I was asking the Father, Lord, what else do you want us to talk about? Because he kind of has ministered to me and you the last couple of days through our ordinary circumstances situation about part four and how it corresponds with week four of Lent. And I just saw these letters in capital letters, pay attention. Pay attention. Yes, pay attention. And then he brought me to all these parts of my life where the Lord had trained my spirit from when I was a little girl to now about the reason why one should pay attention. It was in all my areas of learning with all the instructors and teachers I had, the biggest theme was pay attention. Look at me and pay attention. And so, you know, I didn't understand why that was so emphasized in my life. And I noticed that as I'm an adult raising children, driving buses full of children of different ages, different levels of learning, you know, I don't even know if they understand the word pay attention. I believe that they might, because they're more of a visual generation, look at me. But I'm wondering if maybe the Lord wants to put these two phrases together for this generation. Look at me and pay attention. Pay attention to what my Holy Spirit is saying, because everything that's not out in the natural goes into the Holy Spirit. Do you have anything to say about that, Breach?
Just that I agree totally. In the past few weeks, ever since we've come together in Jesus' name, the Lord has been revealing to me, Dr. Shirley, about the past.
Yes.
The past, where I am today in him, with him, and through him, but also where he has brought me from.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The prodigal. I'm his little prodigal girl.
Yeah.
God bless me. And, and Dr. Shirley, just in, as I was listening to you at the when you were speaking, the psalm that came to me about our neighbors and about this, and when the enemy gloats over when a Christian falls, you know, and what came to my mind was in Psalm 3.
Yeah.
Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, the lifter of my head. Do you know, when things happen, the enemy, those around us may laugh and point the finger.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants, I believe, God wants us in such a place in him that even though we fall, we can rise up again.
Yes.
When we turn to him, and we turn to him and ask forgiveness, okay, that he will raise us up into a higher place in him, actually. And that's the past few weeks that the Lord's been bringing me to. the where he has brought me from, and the many, 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 many times that I have fallen. And I believe, Dr. Shirley, through the intercession of others around me, have given me the grace and the insight to turn to God and say, I did again, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And how God is so patient with us. Because, you see, God, all through Scripture, Isaiah, I have chosen you, I set you apart, I have this. Do you know what I mean? I have chosen you in John 15:16. I have chosen you, you have not chosen me. You see, since we were in the womb, God has anointed us and set us aside for a special purpose. And this isn't just one or two people.
That's right. Yes.
It's everyone, everyone. Every one of us, Dr. Shirley, has been called and anointed and appointed. And what this journey of life is about is to find out what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we can go to God ourselves, and yes, but I believe we come to, how did you, Dr. Shirley, learn about the Lord?
Well,
how did you come into this relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, Dr. Shirley?
Now, it's so funny. Before the actual formal acknowledgement, the Lord was going over different parts of my life with me this morning. We did a review of Dr. Shirley's life with the theme, Pay Attention. And he showed me throughout my life how from as little as I was at three to, like, you know, the playmates that he put me with and who was around for adults, how he used, you know, like, there was always good parts and bad parts in people's lives, but the good parts were really, really good parts for me. And my grandmother had grown up with the late Cardinal Spellman, and Cardinal Spellman was from Whitman, and that's the small town that I grew up in. And apparently they were playmates and went to school. She knew all, you know, his brothers and sisters. And so when he became cardinal, she had, you know, been entrusted with taking care of his nieces and nephews when their parents, who had wonderful jobs, had gone away on business trips. And lots of times, cardinal's nieces and nephews would be over at my grandmother's house. They, you know, have a lot of big houses in Whitman, and or we would go over there. And there was a couple of times that I met the cardinal. I used to, you know how they pat you on the head, and they, you know, they. Well, I had a couple of pats from the cardinal, and I'm like, who's this man in this dress and this big hat? Pat me on the head. And so the thing is, it was like I was receiving blessings, you know,
mm-hmm.
the fathers, you know, the spiritual fathers, you know, big time blessings of the church, and I didn't realize that. And all of a sudden, from those paths, I had not been, you know, baptized at that point, but I wasn't baptized as a baby like many people were. But I knew, you know, and I started seeing the things. I started seeing in the spirit more clearly, and I started seeing things from the sky, asking about God, and is he, you know, is like a grandfather, because I would see maybe it was Jesus with the white hair, but I was, you know, relating him to an old man. And everybody knew that something happened to me, and they wanted me, they asked my mother if I was baptized, and I asked my mother what that was, and it had something to do with the church. I said, I want to be baptized, you know. And then, you know, my grandfather, my step-grandfather, who was going to be a priest, but he had his sister became a nun at the Sisters of St. Joseph, that's what it was. But also the St. Joseph came, you know, like very powerful. Like I wanted to know more about Jesus' father because these stories were being read to me because I had an interest. And I wanted to know more about St. Joseph, and I wanted to, you know, understand about the church, and I wanted to be, even at 6 years old. And so they brought me, and I had a little baptism, and, you know, and I was like, it was easier for me to understand because I was like 6 years old, and I was coming into that age of reason, and then the whole world opened up to me. I started to be able to read and see different things and colors and everything. This is before the bad things started happening to me, and then, you know, and then, or maybe right around the same time, I'm not sure, but, you know, and it was like, I started coming to the Lord in bits and pieces, but the Lord will always do things, like, pay attention, and then at that time in my life, it was like, whenever the word pay attention, listen to me, you know, it was like, it just registered in my spirit, like, you know, and at the time, I didn't know it was registering in my spirit, but, it just felt like it just carried me to the next thing. It just like one experience, one God experience carried me to the next thing until as I entered it, I didn't even know it was a desert, but as I entered the desert, as these other things started happening to me, I was like, the Lord, because he set me up in those other things, I was anticipating that there was something more. I was like getting thirsty, you know, in the prodigal state. It was almost like he brought me to himself, and then I went into the prodigal state, and then, yeah, you know, right after communion, because the baptism led me to communion. And when I was walking down the, down the aisle to receive my Holy Communion, I felt like a bride. I'm like, I'm a little girl, and I'm like, I feel like a bride, and the Lord says, you're my bride. So that was like within a year and a half after I made, you know, after I received my baptism. And so I came in like that, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then the bad thing started happening to me. Then I went into like a desert prodigal state that I had no control of until I was like 18. You know, and then I wanted to make my confirmation, but I didn't feel I was worthy. I had to get things, I just wanted to be open to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, are you the same God that came to me when I was younger? Please come to me again, you know, and it was like, and I just waited on him until the time was right. And I just was reading a certain thing in scripture about waiting from Micah. I just wanted to reiterate that whole thing, how the Holy Spirit waits for us. So I'm kind of telling you my life story in a nutshell, but a whole lot happened then. And I just wanted to, it's a real short one. It's one of those, I know they call them the minor prophets, but it's one of those small scriptures that I actually read at the beginning, and I just shut the book. So let me go to the other book, the Bible. It was Micah 7:8. Here we go. Micah. All right, here we go to Micah. Yes, Micah 7:8-9. Yes. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath, and he pleads my case. Until he pleads my case and establishes my right, he will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. Then my enemy will see it and will be covered with shame. And of course, the enemy is the enemy, the evil spirit, the devil, who likes to seek the ruin of man's soul. But the Lord just brought me to that place of, you know, ultimate mercy, as he was really, you know, keeping me, you know, and wait, you know, keeping me waiting on him. There's that grace of keeping, keeping on, you know, and things like that. So that's my story, in a nutshell. And as the country song says, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And go ahead.
Isn't it amazing, though, Dr. Shirley, that Jesus came to you?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus comes to us.
Yes.
And he beckons us to come closer to him.
Yes.
And on that journey, coming deeper and closer, sometimes we do, a lot of times, we do, how can I put it, we do fall short. We do, we're still, we're not angels. We're human.
Mm-hmm.
We've got flesh.
Yes.
And it just amazes me listening to your story and knowing you, that how the Lord, you cannot give what you do not have, Dr. Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like them times, yes, you received Jesus, you touched him, you know, you had an intimacy, he brought you to himself. And then through circumstances, whether they're of our own doing or not, we feel that Jesus has left us, has abandoned us.
Yeah.
And in them times of darkness, like in Isaiah 45:3, maybe we could go there.
I'm right there right now. I just flipped to it.
Okay.
Amen. And I'd like to read on and, you know, past 45, because there's something, some nuggets here that I really believe will minister to those who are, you know, questioning, if, Lord, where are you in this? Okay, and the Lord kind of comes in the question, you know, he answers that question.
Yes.
And anyways, here we go. All right. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor, though you do not acknowledge me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you, though you have not acknowledged me, so that from the rising of the sun to the place of its setting, men may know there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and create disaster. I, the Lord, do all these things. Do heavens above rain down. You heavens above, rain down righteousness. Let the clouds shower it down. Let the earth open wide. Let salvation spring up. Let righteousness grow with it. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him. Now, this is the woe here. Woe to him who quarrels with his maker. To him who is but a potsherd among the potsherds of the underground. Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Does your work say he has no hand? Woe to him who says to his father, what have you begotten? Or to his mother, what have you brought to birth? This is what the Lord says, the Holy One of Israel and its Maker, concerning things to come. Do you question me about my children, or give me orders about the work of my hands? It is I who made the earth and mankind upon it, and created mankind upon it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. I will raise up Cyrus in my righteousness. I will make all his ways straight. He will rebuild my city and set my exiles free, but not for a price or reward, says the Lord God Almighty. And I'm going to stop right there.
Okay.
You wanted to talk about the beginning part, 45.
Yeah. I would. Thus says the Lord to his anointed Cyrus, whose right hand I grasp. Okay? So,
mm-hmm.
to me, that is Jesus. you know, coming to us, grasping him, or grasping us with his victorious right hand, okay? And he's anointed us, okay? He's anointed us, Dr. Shirley, and now he grasps us by the right hand.
Yes.
He opens doors before, you know, opening doors before us and leaving the gates unbarred. And he's saying, I will go before you and level the mountains. Bronze doors I will shatter and iron bars I will snap. Now, it's the next verse that I am really interested in. I will give you treasures out of the darkness.
Yes.
So look, he has anointed us. Okay, he's anointed us, he's appointed us, he himself has grasped us with his victorious right hand, and he's leading us where? Into the darkness.
Yeah.
What for? To give us treasures and riches that have been hidden away. Why is he doing this, Dr. Shirley? So that we, you and I, and everyone that hears my voice right now, okay, that we may know that he, Jesus Christ, is Lord, the God of Israel, who calls us by name, who calls us by name. He anoints us, he appoints us, he calls us by name, and that there is an ownership, you know, an ownership calls us by name. Like we think our parents, our mommies or and daddies, or our daddies or our mommies have called us by name, but not so. I believe the Lord has called us by name. And the Lord has anointed us and set us aside when we were in the womb of our mother. For his purposes. And so, this darkness, Dr. Shirley, I believe, is to bring us into a deeper intimacy in him, to reveal himself to us, the hidden treasures, the secrets.
Yeah.
In him, so we become, we know him, we know him. It's kind of like as he was stripped, as he was stripped, Dr. Shirley, so must we be stripped. The church must be stripped, Dr. Shirley, so that it's nothing of us but all of him. We have to, like John the Baptizer says, we decrease so he can increase within us. And the only way he can really do that, I believe, is to strip us away from everything, all of our resources, everything, so that we totally can rely on him and him alone.
And, you know, what you were saying reminds me of a scripture that you actually assigned to me. Amos 3:7. And so did you want me to read that, or did you want
Oh, yes, please.
Amos 3:7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. Yes. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. And that you talked about how he calls us into the darkness to reveal to us the treasures that are hidden.
Yes.
In the darkness. And there's several ways that can happen. you know, and one of the ways, it, you know, I believe the Lord is really raising up, he's raising up intercessors of another breed for this day and age, right? Of another breed.
Yes.
Of another breed, another breed in this day and age. And it's not like the intercessors of 30 years ago. It's not like the intercessors of 20 years ago. It's intercessors of the now. That's how the Lord put it to me this morning. The intercessors that are not afraid to travail for prodigals coming home, the return of the prodigals. And he will interrupt our life and our comfort zones to get the job done.
Amen.
And he did it all for us on Calvary over 2,000 years ago, but he released something to the church when he did it all, and that is so that we also can bear his mark of the crucifixion in our flesh through his life, death, and resurrection. And so I just wanted to talk about my experience that I had this week. And Breed, I just want to thank you for being his obedient servant and friend to come alongside of me and talk, you know, in our journey of faith, to talk about this delicate subject, I really believe that's on the Father's heart, the return of the prodigals and the different aspects of that. And I just thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this point on the fourth week of Lent. And when we thought we were just doing that one show, and it's ended up being several shows. And it's like from one show to the other, you're opening up, you know, unpacking nuggets of revelation and teaching. So we just thank you for it, Lord. So anyways, you know, I had that visitation. Remember we talked about this? I think I even mentioned it in a couple of shows ago, how I was waking up from, and this was in response to community, and, you know, how the Lord's raising up communities to welcome these prodigals. And I had some night watches that I was doing in the spirit, and I wasn't getting my sleep that I normally would get. But I managed to get some sleep this particular evening, and as I was waking up from my sleep, the Lord, I now feel it was the Lord himself, or the Holy Spirit, that's who it was, the Holy Spirit. So I asked the Lord, who was that messenger this morning that came about 10 days ago to set me up? And the Lord said, it was the Holy Spirit. It was his spirit. And, you know, because the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's our guide. He's our comforter. He's not separate from Jesus. It's his spirit communicating to us on the earth. And anyways, so as I was waking up, the Holy Spirit says to me, it's time to lie down. And then I was thinking, why is it time to lie down? I'm waking up. And then the revelation throughout the day was coming to me whenever the Lord calls me, you know, I have to pay attention, first of all. That word, pay attention to what I say, pay attention. And he was showing me that whenever I come to tell you to, you know, lay down and rest, lay your life down, it means, you know, I'm coming to a time of travailing, intercessory fasting, prayer, and that's the season that we are in. And I'm not the only one he's calling, right, Breach? He's calling you, your family, everyone, you know, in the way that he has for them. Then we were talking. We did our show, and then we were talking about travailing, right, and interceding. And you were talking to my husband Jeff, and I just left the conversation a little bit because it started right there and then. The last Sunday, I went to the bathroom and I just could not believe it. I thought I was going to die. I was gasping for breath. I'm travailing, and I'm like, you know, it's like things. I was having a reaction inside of me, a spiritual reaction. I'm like, Lord, what is this? You know, and I was travailing. He was beginning to show me. I was travailing for those that were caught up in drug addiction that he's calling back. He's calling into the kingdom, but that there is this element of drug addiction withdrawal that's also part of the world, and it's a withdrawal from the world. But you know, the enemy's trying to use that to kill them because it's so much pain and anguish. And you know, and he's calling his saints to step forward in redemption to intercede for them through redemptive suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You have anything to say about that before I continue?
Continue.
Okay. So, you know, I was struggling with what should I eat, Lord? What should I not eat? And I always get caught up in that. And the Lord just kept saying, pay attention and breathe. You kept saying that too in the course of the last three series. Well, the significance of paying attention.
Yes, paying attention. God is doing a new thing, Dr. Shirley. A new thing, Dr. Shirley. And like in Scripture in Isaiah, he says, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? Like,
yes.
We're praying and we're crying out to God. The whole earth is crying out to God. And
yeah.
Then God moves and we get thrown off our horse, so to speak, Dr. Shirley, because we think it's a certain way. You know, we think it's a certain package. You
right.
know? And that is why it is crucial in these days, crucial, Dr. Shirley. In some incidents, it could be life or death, actually.
Yes,
but
yes.
We have to pay attention to our good shepherd because he sees. He's got the big plan. We can't see beyond our nose.
Right.
You know, so we come to him. So it's really important that we pay attention and be open and let him, just like you read there in Scripture, in 45, where he says, do you know, it's him, it's his work. He is the potter. We are the clay.
Yes.
You know, and we can't say to him about another person, what are you doing? What are you making? Why are they this or that? This is a time, like the Lord says to me, no time to ask questions right now. Just be obedient and do what I'm calling you to do. You know, not to get into a dialogue. Well, why am I doing this and he's not doing that? And you know what I'm saying?
That's true.
Dr. Shirley, you hit the nail on the head when out of all of this is be attentive.
Yes, yes. So I had to, you know, really give him my all. And then I came back into the conversation with you and Jeff. And then Monday, Tuesday went by and... you know, I'm still struggling. What should I not eat? What should I refrain from? Blah, 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 blah. I was still in the intellectual thinking mode, rational mode, instead of the faith mode. And so when Wednesday came, and I don't really use the days of measure because I live from glory to glory, strength to strength, but the Lord was using these days of the week to mark, you know, where he intervened in time, in my time. And so what happened was then things started getting pretty interesting in the Holy Spirit on Wednesday. The seed of warfare, or where the Spirit resides, is if you want to look physically at a person, is the abdominal section. You know, it's where the Holy Spirit, this where the Spirit man lives, and it's where the spirit communication takes place in people. And this is what, you know, and that's why our digestive systems are very important to the Lord, because you know, when we fast and everything, we are in open communication between us and heaven, where we can hear clearer, we can see clearer, mm-hmm. and different things like that. And so, I was just so eager to get there, you know. But I still needed to trust the Lord in that, because my whole question was, has been from day one, from the time I had that visitation, teach me, show me, show me how to lay down my life for this particular assignment, or, you know, whatever you want to do in this next new thing here. So the Lord honored that, and I thought it was the food that I, you know, was eating, which was soup. And I thought it was an MSG reaction, and you know, it went beyond that. All of a sudden, my system started getting crampy, and my system was shutting down. And I thought, this is really strange. It's like, you know, I was expecting for 3 days for it to be like that, and then it just kept getting progressively worse. I could not get a good night's sleep. The Lord removed all my comforts away from me. He canceled all my plans. He canceled all my bodily responses to life, except for I had a beating heart and I was breathing. And I had some kind of, you know, wit about me, but it was more like nothing else was going my way. Like even with Wednesday night, I had planned to watch an anointed person of God's new teaching on the kingdom, and I was all set to watch this, and my stomach, you know, I was like, it was acting up, and I'm, you know, groaning, and I'm like, wow, I don't know if I can even focus on it. Well, if I found out that there was something going on, because it was supposed to be airing live, and it was only on for 3 minutes, and that was all I got of that. I'm like, well, that's it. If I waited this long, I'm going to now lay back down. But I couldn't lay back down because my there was the inner groaning within me. My stomach was doing funny little things. I couldn't get comfortable. So the most comfortable position was my knees. So I was like on my knees, and I could only rock back and forth. And this was Wednesday night. And I, you know, and then I woke up on Thursday morning, and I'm like, I'm still feeling like out of sorts, and I began my day, and I couldn't even concentrate because the intercession was increasing, the travailing, my gut got involved, and I felt like I was birthing something, felt like it was in labor, and travailing, and that's why I read Romans 8 at the beginning, because I really felt that I was responding to how creation was groaning for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. I knew now this is beyond me. This was like the Lord's taking me somewhere with this. You know, the funny thing about it, I knew it wasn't a flu. I didn't get a fever or anything, but I was getting nauseous, and I don't throw up. So I thought, I thought maybe I'm going through deliverance, and all Thursday night, that's all it was. It was just things were coming up and out, things I didn't even know I had, and because I was really not eating that much during the week. And but every time things were coming forward for me, I was praying and interceding. Every time I got on the knee, oh, Lord, save me, help me, help me. Then I noticed it was increasing in intensity. But then when I submitted to praying for the return of the prodigals and the setting free of children from autism, and I just saw so many things in the Holy Ghost, it just seemed that things were relaxing. You know, like, it's just one of those things. Lord, what did you? I didn't realize you had this for me. This is so excruciating. And then I offered it up as redemptive suffering for suffering humanity who has yet to come. And there was another time when I was actually, you know, quiet enough to do a night watch. I joined my prayers with the folks at IHOP. They do the 24/7 worship intercession. And I don't want it to be about me. It's about what the Lord's doing and who He's using. And all of a sudden, one of the worshiper of Mr. Edward was talking, was singing about time. Time, you know, it's just a matter of time, time, time. You know, and then she was singing other words, but the Lord zeroed in on time. He, you know, he told me to pay attention to time, pay attention to time. And I'm like, okay, time. I'm like, and that was my prayer of anguish. Lord, give you people time. Time is short. But Lord, you who measure time, who created time for mankind, Lord, you know, your people need more time to get the house in order. They need more time, time, time. The prodigals need more time, time. And so that was like a very, very, that was a, you know, that was a real strong word and prayer point for that time period, time. And so, you know, I just felt that the Father longs for his children to come, and he's wondering what's taken, what are they getting caught up in, and he's raising up key intercessors that intercede between heaven and earth to Jesus through the Holy Spirit, on, you know, petitioning on behalf of these children that have yet to come forward. These could be children that are 40s. These could be children that are 50s, getting caught up in the things of the world, not having enough time to grow up into the things of the Lord that they're destined to be, you know, to be grown into, called into, because these people are mighty warriors, the Lord has shown me. These people that are coming, these children that are coming, have treasures, you know, that are greater than what we're carrying, and they're going to be used in a greater way. There's a greater glory, a greater way to glory, that they're going to be walking into, and we really need to understand that. We need to see. We need to ask the Lord for eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is forming in these prodigals that we can oftentimes misjudge by the way that they look externally. You know, these are the people that are coming from drug addiction, pornography, prostitution, like we said earlier, but they're not always going to be in those states. And this is what we need to understand as we're praying. We can't just say, well, they're just hopeless and just useless, because they aren't. There's, you know, right when you start to say that, then you must know that's a lie. This is for people that are out there, and that that there is a greater glory coming. You can't look at the sin, or when even a Christian backslides, you got to look at where they come from, you know, what the Father has done, what he's going to do, and what he's going to continue to do, and pray along those lines. And so, you know, by the time I got over this, my gut was splitting, but I had some relief right after Friday. It was like the day of the agony when Jesus was on the cross. I was on the cross with him. The way I know that this is definitely of the Lord, this anguish, this travail, is just before, you know, I woke up for the day, the Lord brought me to a graduation. It was like, it looked like a high school graduation. And I kept hearing this rap, and like almost like sound like extreme cellophane coming off of different things, like, you know, unpackaging. And I'm like, why is that? What are they? I know that they're taking out diplomas to give people. I said, what? Why is it so loud? You know, as they were passing out the diplomas to people, they came to me. This person came to me and gives me, you know, it was so loud, the unwrapping of this. And all of a sudden, I look, and it's a diploma from Jesus. Like, he gave me a diploma from heaven. We got into this intercession, you know, and things like that. But you know, I was able to experience a part of his boom, in, you know, in the abdominal section, and, you know, and I know it goes deeper, you know, than abdominal, but it was within my spirit. And I just thank God for that, but it was very anguishing. I didn't even know if I was going to survive. See, the Lord's faithful. He's faithful to the end. We are approaching, like, the end of the show, but we're going to continue. The live stream is actually going to end in 37 seconds, but the show will continue. So we'll continue to, you know, talk about this and pray more into it. So, Reed, what is it that you want to... talk, you know, what is it that you the Lord is showing you about this kind of
I believe it's time to come out of the cave. It's time to come out of the tomb. It's just time.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to come out of the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to speak to people. I would like to talk to my brothers and my sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ and just say, it's time to come out of the tombs. It's time to come out of the caves. That the Lord has shown you in the darkness, to come out and share it with the body. Like we read today in Amos 3, 7, about the hidden, and Isaiah 45, 3, about that, you know, the hidden. Share your experience, the hidden treasures the Lord has given you.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has given you in the darkness. Do you know, I think it's in Matthew, the Lord says that, let your light shine, let your light shine. Don't keep it under a bushel. And I just believe, Dr. Shirley, now is the time to go out, to step out, step in, and into the light of the countenance of our Lord Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, and just share as you have today in what the Lord is doing, in what the Lord is doing. And it's not all about you, it's not all about me, we're a body, we're a community. And I would just like to share quickly a scripture that the Lord has put in my heart, and it's Habakkuk chapter 2. I will stand at my guard post. And station myself upon the rampart and keep watch to see what he will say to me and what answer he will give to my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write down the vision clearly upon the tablet, so that one can read it readily. For the vision still has its time. Press on to fulfillment and will not disappoint. If it delays, wait for it. It will surely come. It will surely come. It will not be late.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We wait for your vision. And that reminds me what you said earlier too. I'm tying those two together, about what, you know, talk about what I saw in the darkness. I also saw, I heard in the darkness, I saw this rainbow color of sound coming to me, and I could hear, like the Lord just kept running things through my spirit about the mysteries of heaven. And at the same time, I wasn't comprehending it all, and the only way I can converse back is in tongues, in the spirit-to-spirit communication. But some of it was in English and others were not. Some of it, what he did was he took all the prayers that I prayed throughout my whole life up until then, and it seemed like it was prayers, and then it was revelation and teaching coming in.
Yes.
Things that went out and then came in, went to his ears in heaven and coming into me. That's all I can explain. And but I was receiving it, the gift of tongues in the spirit. It was just, you know, and this was in the darkness. It was, you know, it was a treasure of coming out, you know, and being revealed in the darkness. So I just wanted to confirm that part, Breach, what you were spoke what the Holy Spirit had spoken to us through Scripture when you were reading it and things like that. But the vision, waiting for the vision. And what is that, waiting for the vision, Breach?
Waiting for the vision, I would just like to share quickly with you, again, quickly, I'm never quick, but God bless me.
Amen.
A few months ago, I was praying for a sister in the Lord, mm-hmm. and what came to me, just to go back to the colors, the vision, okay, I was praying for this sister, and what I heard first, I heard, the sifting is over. The sifting is over. The sifting is over. And I was brought back to when Jesus spoke to Peter and says, Peter, Satan has asked, and this is the church, by the way. Peter represents the church, I believe. Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but don't worry. I'm going to pray for you. I'm the great high priest. I'm going to pray for you. Do you hear what I'm saying to you, church? Listen, be attentive. And then I seen the colors of the rainbow coming down over this person.
Wow.
And it was like saran wrap.
Mm-hmm.
And it was colors, like bright rainbow colors. And it was like your vision was unwrapping. This sister's vision was wrapping. Mm-hmm. And like saran wrap, color, saran wrap, the colors of the rainbow.
Mm-hmm.
And the vision was, okay, the Lord gives you a vision or puts something in your spirit. You wait, you pray, ask the Lord for revelation. And we always, Dr. Shirley, we always have a part to play in any vision or word from the Lord or whatever. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord speaks it, we have a part to play in this, Dr. Shirley, and that is to be open, to be obedient, to be doers of the word, like it says in James. Be a doer of the word. Okay? So for my sister, I was praying, and this is what I was seeing, her being in saran wrap, rainbow. And so I said, now you go. I knew what it was. I knew what the Lord was saying, but I didn't want to, I wanted to, what the Lord was saying to her, because after all, it was her we were praying for, and the word was, yes, for all of us, but I believe for her. So she went away and she came back again. And she came back and she said, what the Lord spoke to her was his promise, his covenant was the rainbow, the saran wrap, which preserves. You know saran wrap, Dr. Shirley, it preserves. Or
yeah.
cling
yeah.
film. Some people yeah. might call it cling film.
Mm-hmm.
And it was God's promise to my sister, that his promises that the sifting was over, whatever she was going through was over, because Jesus, the great high priest, was interceding for her. And the saran wrap, God's promise, a preservation of God's promise, his covenant, the rainbow, was he would never leave her nor forsake her. And she had to wait. She had to wait until that took place. Just like you, Dr. Shirley, have to wait. You have to go through it. You have to go through it, Dr. Shirley. You know, we have to go through the Good Friday, you know, to get to Easter Sunday, Dr. Shirley. We have to, Dr. Shirley. We have to go into the darkness so that we can come out in the light.
Yes.
And give to others that, see, it's not about us. It's not about us. It's not about you or me. It's about we are called, everyone is called to be an intercessor.
Mm-hmm.
Some people in a bigger depth, you know, than others. But the church itself is to call, is to intercede. That's what the church is, to intercede,
yes.
You know, to the Father. To the Father for the body. That's who Christ is. Do you know? And then the truth of that is, as I said before, the Father's looking for worshippers in spirit and truth. Well, all that means, I believe, Dr. Shirley, is in spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in truth is our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hmm.
Because that is whom the Father, God our Father, Eternal Father, God Almighty, has chosen to reconcile us, the church, back to himself, is in the power of his Spirit, in the truth of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, we have a couple minutes left. And I'm looking at the Holy Spirit just beckoned me to flip over to the New Testament in John 17. Mm-hmm. And there's three things here that's happening. Jesus, before he goes to the cross on behalf of mankind, he's pleading on behalf, he's praying for himself, then he prays for his disciples. And then he prays for all believers, which are the prodigals. And I was just going to just pray the prayer for believers, but it wouldn't be much of anything if I didn't go back to Jesus praying for himself. He knows what he needs to do. He understands who he is and what he needs to do for mankind. So I'm going to just flip open to John 17, verse 1. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by in the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Did you want to pray? Do you have your book open to John?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Do you have that? Can you read the section after that? Jesus prays for the disciples.
Where is that, Dr. Shirley? Where are we?
I just prayed. It might not be. I'm reading from the NIV version.
Yes, I have a different version.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you know, I'll start, and maybe you can just jump in and continue once you find it. So Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed to you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and that they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And these are the disciples. This could also be the older. It could also be the older brother, but you know, the older brother too. But you know, the older brother that's come into sonship, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe struggling with some issues in their growth process.
Yes,
be that too. It says, all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am,
yes.
I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled.
I'll take it up from here, Dr. Shirley.
Okay.
But now I am coming to you. I speak this in the world so that they may share my joy completely. Completely. We are not going to have complete joy, complete peace, until we come to Jesus and we are in Jesus. Because it's in him and through him we are made complete. Amen?
Amen.
I give them your word. And the world hated them because they do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. That's where it's very hard, Dr. Shirley. That's when we need community.
Yes.
It's very hard, Dr. Shirley, in this world, as you know, out there in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We need community. We need to come back, have a place to come back to at the end of the day when we
yes.
go out and minister our Lord Jesus Christ to the hurting body. We need to come back and be renewed and refreshed in our Lord Jesus Christ through one another.
Yes.
And, of course, the breaking of bread. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world any more than I belong to the world. Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus is truth. As you send me into the world, so I send them into the world. That's the commissioning. That's the commissioning.
Yeah.
He'll send us out two by two. And I consecrate myself for them so that they also may be consecrated in truth in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I pray not only for them. You see, you were not only praying for yourself or what the Lord was putting on your heart, Dr. Shirley. You were praying for the body, the church. You were laying it down before God our Father for him to, just like Jesus, you know, laying it down and for whatever he wanted, your will be done, Father, not my will.
And so Jesus, oh, go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead, Dr. Shirley.
And so I just wanted to also pray, read the scripture about Jesus prays for all believers, because that's where this is all going, you know, and how we have a call. We are all called, like Reed said earlier, to intercession on different levels. It may not be the degree of travail, but it's according to the prescription of this generation, what this generation needs, so that the coast can be clear for them to come to the Lord. That all the distractions can be diverted and pulled away, so that they can freely come to the Father. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. This is the prodigal, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory, that's the hidden treasure,
I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved them. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. So the Lord desires to be in every single one of us, and also in the them that are destined to come into the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. So, I believe, for now, we've come to the end of this program, but not the end of the journey. Not the end of the journey, just the end of this program. And so, Bruce, you want to pray right now for the listening audience? And
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us by name. We are yours, and you are ours. I just raise my voice to you today, Lord, and in praise and thanksgiving for what you're going to do in the days ahead. I thank you that even now, Lord God, your Spirit, your Holy Spirit is ushering in the newness that you have promised us, Lord. And I just pray, Father God, that 2011 is truly our year from heaven, that we will see the prodigals come home to you, Father God. That the outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, the new wine, into the new wineskins will take place in these days. Thank you, Lord, that we will be ready and we will be open to the newness that you're pouring forth. For you have said, Father God, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. I thank you, Father God, that right now you're opening up the prison doors and you're setting the captives free. That you, Father, are giving sight to the blind. That you, Father, are proclaiming a year of favor to all those who've been far off, that you're drawing them with your cords of love. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing right now in the hearts of your people. And Father, may your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Teach us, give us the grace to be open, to be attentive to what you're speaking to us, even now, Father God. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts always be pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. For your glory, for your honor, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Oh, shira pa shiria kariya shiya la la. For indeed I have called you by name. Indeed I have called you by name to come closer to my heart. My hand is outstretched to you. Come, my beloved, come. Come, my beloved, come. As I breathe my breath upon you. For I tell you this day, I make all things new. I make all things new. Be ye open to the new that I have for you this day. This day. This day, this day.
And we thank you, Lord, for making all things new. And I believe that the Father wants us to end on that and begin that next topic, the new. It's so funny, Breach, how you ended on this. And I was, as I was reading this morning and pondering on what the content should be in the show, I saw the word new, the new, you know, that, and I, you know, there was also a teaching that the Lord was showing me. And I thought, okay, we'll save this for the next one. Well, we got to get to this travail first. that's what would be the next topic, you know, the new day, right? The new, pondering anew or something like that. Well, the Father will show us exactly what we need to do. So God bless you, Breach, and it was nice to have you again as co-partner in this journey of faith.
God bless you, Dr. Shirley, and have a peaceful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Lift the eyes of your heart upon His face. There it is. Let His gaze ravish you. Truth of His word touching your heart. That's what we mean by the kiss of His mouth. Song of Solomon says, "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth." That's the word of the Lord touching your heart with the truth of what He's saying about you. Yes. Sing over them, Father. Prepare your child bride. Increase upon them now. There's an increase coming right this moment. Just breathe it in. Let it come deeper. Yes, Lord, thank you. the oil of his kisses on the dry places of your heart, fearful places, becoming soft and tender. Weary places with the oil of gladness. The ashes of mourning replaced with beauty, that bridal headpiece of beauty that designates you as his very own. Open the eyes of their hearts, Lord. Oh, Father, send your Spirit that they, being rooted and grounded in the knowledge of your love, may grow up into all of the length and the breadth, the height and the depth of the love of Christ, the bridegroom. Agree with the Father's assessment of who you are. The King seats you at his table, and shame falls away, for you gaze upon his face night and day. Radiance comes. Yes, Lord.